Hey, welcome back to Endpoint TV. This is your host, Ron Jacobs, and today I'm delighted to have Kurt and Jesse from Neudesic with us. Welcome, guys.
Thanks, Ron. Glad to be here.
So, tell me about Neudesic.
So, Neudesic is a company started in 2001 by a number of former Microsoft employees. Mm-hmm. We're a consulting company. We've now grown to 14 offices around the United States.
Wow.
And we also have an office in Hyderabad, India as well. We're a globally managed ISV, and we're unique in that we also provide products as well as just services, too.
Okay. So now, I heard about you guys mainly because of this ESB product you have, this Neuron ESB, which I think is fascinating, really. But not everybody is, you know, familiar with ESBs or why would you do an ESB. So, Jesse, what is an ESB anyway?
So, an ESB you can think of as messaging infrastructure for SOA and web services. So, it's kind of like if you're going to build a website, you probably, if you're a Microsoft developer, you're probably going to use IIS, right?
Right.
So, let's say you go to build some web services. Mm-hmm. You probably want something to be able to track, to be able to monitor, to be able to manage those web services, and to be able to orchestrate communication between various components on your network.
Okay.
So, an ESB is almost like IIS for web services. It's an essential component of your infrastructure when you have more than, you know, one or two web services on your network.
Okay, but there's sort of, I mean, there's a style to this sort of architecture, right? I mean, like, you know, people go, well, hey, I got .NET Framework, I have IIS, I can do web services, why would I need something else, right? Mm-hmm. But there's this kind of event-driven style to the systems that people build like this. What is that about?
Yeah, so a lot of times my CTO, Tim Marshall, and I talk to customers about trying to get the vernacular between the business side and the technology side synced up so mm-hmm. that they can speak to each other.
Right.
So imagine you go in and you talk to somebody in the business side. It's easy for them to say, Mr. Business Person, what do you want me to do if this happens? When we hire a new person, that's the event. What do you want to happen?
Right.
So that's the sort of the notion of the event-driven world. If you can translate those kinds of things into the message-oriented world, then an ESB can kind of help you with that. So you can imagine in this case, you know, if you hire a new person, you may get a new hire message that goes out onto something. Well, that something mm-hmm. is the ESB, which can then use components of the message to route that message to different services, can route the responses back, can provide some form of almost orchestration, not all the way to BizTalk and business process management, but those types of things to facilitate that communication. Those turning business events into message events,
right?
And keeping the meaning there, the semantics across the whole board, is what Neuron helps us do in this case.
Okay, so, I mean, I could imagine that I say, all right, well, here's my service, and when I hire a new employee, call this service to let me know that you hired a new employee, right? So then I could tell this app to call that service. Still don't need a service bus for that, but that's kind of point to point. So the beauty of the bus is that the next guy that wants to also know about that, he can get that message too, right?
Yep, absolutely. So you can imagine, you know, the whole pub-sub thing that Jesse can tell you more about. But if you want to plug stuff in and provide an abstraction layer so that over time, as your enterprise grows mm-hmm. and you have systems, as you mentioned, that may want to know about that message. They can come and go as they please. That's all abstracted away from the developer.
Okay.
That kind of thing is very powerful. It allows your developers to just simply say, here's my message. I publish it out there with all the characteristics and attributes.
Right.
And then the messaging layer gets to determine who the consumer of that is, and that's all transparent. That layer of abstraction we found can dramatically reduce development time and all that kind of good stuff. So it's pretty cool.
So Jesse, you know, years ago, 10 years ago, when I first started at Microsoft, I was on the Comm Plus team, and we had kind of a pub-sub thing. We had, you know, these event-driven components, and it was, you know, something that was kind of interesting, but actually people didn't use it very much. But in the years since, though, I think you know, PubSub has kind of picked up steam, don't you think?
Yeah, I think definitely. And it's not that it wasn't popular then. Like, I mean, people have always wanted to do it. The difference with this kind of push towards what they call EDA now for event-driven architecture is that as opposed to some of the past approaches, which were essential to the companies that built these systems, EDA is standardized and built on top of SOA, right? And so when you go and design a system, you might be doing the same types of things you did with Com Plus,
right?
But the difference is now you can hook in, say, your mainframe, and you can hook in this other server on a completely different network, and you don't have to worry about, like, oh, do you guys know how to do Com Plus, you know? Or some other people might have used Corba to do the same type of thing. You don't have to worry about, like, oh, do you guys know about Corba? It's like, well, you need to, we're going to call to this HTTP endpoint, or we're going to listen on this mailbox, and you send us an XML packet. And you don't really have to worry if someone can create an XML document, right?
So
everyone knows how to do
that. So when you say standard, you mean in terms of web services kind of standards, right? Mm-hmm. But now there actually were a couple of different standards that were tossed around for PubSub and, what was it, WS Eventing. Wasn't there another one? Yeah. I can't remember offhand, but... so do you guys do those standards for your ESB, or is it not?
No, we don't implement WS Eventing. I don't think that's, so a lot of people talk about, you know, WS Death Star. There's all these specs.
There's a million,
There's a handful of them that are actually useful and a handful of them that have caught on.
Right.
And we take advantage of those specs by building on top of WCF.
Okay.
So if WCF doesn't support the spec down on the messaging layer.
Right.
As far as web services is concerned, the only way to use it would be to use some kind of WCF component. Now, you can extend WCF, and we extend WCF in a lot of ways to provide some additional infrastructure. But as far as kind of web services messaging goes, we build on top of WCF. Yeah.
Okay. So in the organization, you know, your customers can take and deploy this bus, and, you know, they can have the mainframe listening to messages, they can have Java systems, they can have .NET systems. It's all goodness because it's, you know, plain old SOAP, HTTP kind of stuff, right?
Well, for the most part, but one of the advantages of having a service bus on your network is typically service buses don't only support web services.
Right.
Even though they're called a service bus, they typically support a lot of other technologies through adapters.
Okay.
Right? So it's possible inside of our product and inside of a lot of similar products to build adapters that would say, talk to an AS400 system, not using web services, right? And then convert that into an XML message, which then the rest of the infrastructure doesn't know, right?
It
doesn't know that it didn't come from a web service because it's just XML. So we provide a lot of adapters out of the box to communicate with a lot of different systems that don't necessarily use web services. But the advantage is you build your entire architecture using PubSub or using web services and using the same kind of concepts. And you don't have to, say, change your architecture just because one system on your network doesn't know how to communicate with the bus.
Right. So you can do little kind of protocol transitions through these adapters. Does then the bus could support maybe any of the protocols that WCF supports, like NetTCP, for example?
Yeah, we definitely support everything out of the box that, like, any, not just what ships with a .NET framework, but any binding that anyone has created for WCF. So you could go out and, say, get a binding for Amazon queues or AMQP, which is a popular queuing technology, and you can just plug that into the bus. And that's kind of the power of WCF is that we get all of this for free, right?
Cool.
Because WCF is such a great communication framework, we get to support a lot of systems that where maybe if we were in the Java world, we'd have to manually build. We'd have to manually build that, right?
Yeah.
So WCF helps us, and then in a lot of cases, maybe it isn't really a web service or it isn't really a protocol, maybe something like SQL Server.
Right.
Where, like, SQL Server isn't like communicating with a queue. You're probably going to execute some commands against SQL Server.
Mm-hmm.
So our adapter framework allows us to build integration for those types of systems as well, which wouldn't traditionally be, say, a WCF binding.
Oh, okay. Well, so now this product... you guys have been using this in your consulting engagements, or can people just go and buy this from you and not have you as consultants, or how
they
does that work?
They can now.
Okay.
So our CEO, when we started the company, had a great vision to not only be a consulting company, but also to monetize that intellectual property that we create when we're on projects.
Okay.
Thinking that, you know, if you do 100 projects and you're always doing the same thing, there might be something really positive you can do with that.
Yeah.
So Neuron is one of the products that's probably the most mature one. We have others in the pipeline as well that came initially from a project or a couple projects we were doing with customers.
Uh-huh.
And is now to the point where it's actually a fully shrink wrap product that's uh-huh. available. So you'll be able to, we're redeveloping our website.
Okay.
To take advantage of some even cooler stuff. And you'll be able to download that off the website pretty soon. But today, you just get it from us, but essentially the same thing. So we teach people how to use it typically.
Mm-hmm.
Super easy, 1 or 2 day POC, and we have a lot of customers, that's it, and they're on their own.
Yeah.
Or the nice thing about having capable consultants with experience at Neudesic, we can also come in and help the customers with larger projects so that they can get more done. So we can go either way. Yep.
So tell me about a customer story. You know, have you guys been? You were up here, in fact. You're here in Redmond today.
That's right.
You guys are from Southern California.
Yep.
Right. So you're here working on a project this week, right?
Yep. Yep. So we're helping Microsoft with an internal project that basically has between 70 and 100 different services from a variety of different vendors.
Okay.
In this particular case, there aren't any adapters. It's all web services, but you can imagine lots of different message types, different systems, and some of them don't all run on the Windows platform. So we've put in Neuron in place to help manage that entire mess, a bowl of spaghetti of all this, what would have been pretty complicated point-to-point code, and now have a very dynamic environment that basically through a series of XML configuration files allows them to define their entire messaging configuration.
Wow. Okay, now, cool. So for this to work, a bus to work, you really have to be careful about the messages, right? I mean, it seems like, you know, the message is going to be shared amongst a lot of things on the bus. Does your stuff help you, I don't know, define what the messages are or ensure they're the right ones? Or?
So I would say if you don't have a bus, you have to be really worried about what your messages are.
Yeah.
A bus kind of gives you a little bit of flexibility that you wouldn't otherwise have to make it so you don't have to necessarily be as concerned about the impact of changes.
Okay.
Now, obviously, if you're doing proper SOA, you're going to care about your message contracts and you want to reduce the amount of change that happens.
Right.
But change is bound to happen eventually, right?
Sure.
Even if you design a perfect contract for your web service, eventually the business is going to change.
And evolve.
Right, and you're going to need to add new information.
Okay.
And the likelihood that might break an existing service, it may be low, but it's definitely not improbable or impossible that you'll have some kind of change that you need to roll out throughout your network, right?
Oh, right.
And having this kind of mediator in the middle allows you to say, keep your clients intact, your clients don't change at all, and you change the back-end service and maybe use the bus to transform the message on the way out.
Oh,
or maybe you inspect the message coming in and say, who called me? Was it someone from HR or was it an external customer? If it's someone from HR, maybe you've already updated your internal systems and you send them to the new web service.
Oh, okay.
If it's an external customer, maybe you assume, you know, they're probably not going to be in a rush to update, so we want to keep that interface the same. And you just transform their message, send it, and then transform the response.
Oh, so this is really, you know, from that point of view, then this is pretty valuable, even if you weren't, like, totally into the event-driven thing.
Absolutely.
You're just kind of like, hey, I'm just calling web services. This could still be pretty valuable.
Yeah, and I would say a significant amount of our customers aren't really totally bought into EDA or aren't the biggest SOA experts in the world, right? Because, it's good if you are, but there's not that many SOA experts out there, right? And so what we want to enable people to do is use their existing skills and not require that you be a SOA expert or not require that you know everything about EDA just to build a system. Some products will say, well, if you want to work with us, you need to do things our way. And maybe you can only do one-way messaging because one-way messaging is the proper way to build EDA, right?
Uh-huh.
And like I can see the technical, I can see technically it is better to do it one way, but the fact is your developers might not know how to build systems that way.
Yeah.
And if they should attempt to, they might be even worse off than they, if they would have just done request-response, right?
Okay. So we're flexible.
So yeah. we try to not necessarily enforce that you do things a certain way, though we do provide a lot of tools to make PubSub and one-way messaging significantly easier.
There's another interesting part of that, a debate that's been going on for a while, and that is, you know, do you strongly type your messages and does the contract rule the universe?
Right.
And there's plenty of people in that camp.
That's me. Yeah. I'm that way.
So my experience is, and I'm conflicted, right? Because internally, I'm with you.
Yeah.
But my experience in integrating stuff has been easier when I don't have to pay attention.
Oh, right,
so
right.
Imagine, you know, because sometimes there is no such thing as a contract. So I wrote an adapter for the AS400. It uses data queues, and that's just a stream of bytes. Mm-hmm. It has no contract. So I'm like, well, semantically, you know, how do I turn it into a contract?
Uh-huh.
So what I found was, you know, I had limited time to get connected to that system with the customer. So we, out of the box, by default, took the approach that we would not enforce contracts. So when you install our product, Neuron out of the box, we don't enforce contract at all. We will pass any message from point A to point B, C, D, based on the rules, essentially, that you configured in the bus. What I found was it's easier to integrate with no constraints to begin with. And I just connect up, and I find out if I can even get the messages flowing.
Right.
Once I do, then we can say, okay, only let messages that meet this schema go through, or this .NET object, or we can add constraints later. So that's another interesting differentiator in the approach we took on Neuron is, I don't really care.
Yeah.
If someone sends out a message and it goes on the bus, it might be a month from now that somebody else puts on a service that wants to see that message.
Okay.
So I don't want to constrain it. I'm just going to let it go. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And it's easy to hook up systems that way, I found, and then add the constraints later. So I kind of like that.
So it's, you know, it's easy for me to stand up at a conference and say you should have a good, strong contract.
Right.
But, you know, I haven't had to go and implement these things.
Right.
So
well, the contracts are good because you get autocomplete, right? But they're good on the edges, not necessarily in the middle.
Oh, that's true.
And it's almost like the difference between static and dynamic typing.
Yeah.
Like, strong typing is really good when you want to think a lot about your objects and you're going to reuse them a lot.
Yeah.
But a lot of times where something like dynamic typing is useful is, say, like a web app with JavaScript, where you don't really care what the object is because you're going to use it on a single page and you're never going to look at it again.
Right.
And kind of that overhead of doing all that design work is a lot of extra work. So like a certain product might make you, say, design a whole XSD to parse a CSV file, and do you really need to design an XSD for something that isn't even XML?
I know, I'm so old school. I know that's, you know, I work with these young guys, they're totally dynamic, and
right.
No, I'm old school, C++, kind of, that was my thing. Okay, anyway, we're getting off track.
It's a controversial subject.
So, all right. So what I'd like to do now is just, like, take a few minutes. You can show me a little bit of, you know, I know an ESB is kind of an invisible thing, but there's some visible stuff you can show me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a couple minutes, and you can show me some stuff, and then we'll kind of wrap up from there.
Cool.
All right. So let's take a look at how Neuron can let you get up and running and do some PubSub without really even writing some code. So some of the most basic features that we have. So what in Neuron, the way you send a message between two systems on your network is using something called a topic.
Okay.
So a topic's a concept. A lot of other products have the concept of a topic. It's kind of like a category of messages.
Okay.
So what we'll do is we'll say create a new topic. And we could come in and give our topic a name. So maybe this is orders.
All right.
And then we go over to our networking tab. And in the networking tab, what we can do is enter various information about the type of transport and the quality of service level that we want this topic to have.
Okay.
So unlike some products that support topics, but like topics are just a part of their protocol.
Yeah.
We build topics on top of other protocols.
Okay.
So for the most part, we build on top of WCF, although we do have a BizTalk topic as well that doesn't build on top of WCF. And so We can select whether we want to use MSMQ, which we could use transactionally or non-transactionally. Mm-hmm. You know, if we want to guarantee that every single message makes it to the subscriber, then we can use MSMQ, which performance maybe 300, 400 messages a second transactionally.
Okay.
Or we could even use non-transactional MSMQ, where we can do 10,000 messages a second.
Nice.
We have the TCP channel, which is for a point-to-point connection, doesn't require any special setup besides the firewall ports.
Okay.
We have peer, which builds on top of the WCF peer binding, so you can establish a peer mesh throughout your organization.
Oh.
So that's kind of useful because sometimes you want everything to continue to run when the server goes down.
Yeah.
And you don't necessarily care if everyone gets the message, but you want them to generally get all the messages. And so peer would be good for broadcasting notifications that maybe aren't really important, but you want them to always go on whether or not the server is up.
Oh, okay.
And then BizTalk for if you want to integrate with BizTalk. We don't require you to have BizTalk, but if you do have BizTalk, we allow you to use BizTalk itself as a transport.
Okay.
And then you can use some of our tools to take a bit of the learning curve and the bite out of BizTalk for just sending one message from one place to another.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
So let's say TCP. And we would have the option to, say, specify throttling if we only wanted a certain number of messages per second or a certain amount of data to be able to come over this topic. We can add auditing if we hook the bus up to a SQL database so that we can just log all our messages just by clicking a button.
Oh, cool.
And we could even enable compression if we want to compress every message that's sent over that topic to save bandwidth.
Nice.
So we also have some security options that you could go in and say set up an ACL so only certain users can send things.
Oh, cool.
Or if you wanted to maybe encrypt the traffic on the topic.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say apply, and that will create a topic. And the next thing we do is create a publisher and a subscriber. So I'll come in here and say publisher and choose a subscription to that orders topic.
Okay.
So now we've connected it up without actually having to write any code. I mean, that built the pub-sub listener behind the scenes without just through configuration. And this is all dynamic, right? We can change this behind the scenes. And it doesn't have any impact on the developers or the client code or the services code in any way. So the cool thing about this is that this is really the domain of the architect, putting together the message taxonomy, and all the different characteristics of the topics and the publishers controlling the security. So that stuff can be dealt with by in that domain, the architect domain, while the developers hammer away at their services and the clients that use the services.
Sweet. Okay.
So now we've set up a topic, we've set up a publisher, we've set up a subscriber.
Yeah.
And what we want to do is make sure that all of this works.
Okay.
You know, sometimes you set up this system, like maybe you go create some MSMQ queues,
yeah,
but then you have to test to make sure you know how to communicate with them. Right,
right.
And so what we provide as part of the tool is test clients, which allow you to connect and send messages without really having to write any of your own code.
Okay.
So what I'll do is start the service.
So behind the scenes, this is going to start essentially the management service for the bus that takes the information that's in this configuration file and makes it available to client applications. When they contact the bus and essentially say, hey, I'm here, give me my configuration, that service will be able to give them back the configuration that is the permissions that they have, the subscriptions they have, what all the endpoints are. So there's nothing that the developer has to know special about keeping that information.
Cool.
So you'll see that publisher that we had created before shows up. Say connect and online. The subscriber that we had created before will show up and we'll connect and go online. And now both of these test clients are connected to our TCP topic. And then what we can do just to test and make sure the communication is working is come over and send a message from one of these clients to the other. And one of the things that's kind of unique about what we do is even though we use WCF under the covers, we don't necessarily restrict the content of the message. So we'll allow you to send text content, XML, even binary if you wanted to send files across the wire without really having to reconfigure anything. So I'll say, hello, world.
Yeah, and you'll notice there's no schema here. There's no. We talked about that earlier in the segment that, you know, do I have to control or constrain my messages? As Jesse said, it's just a pipe to get the messages where you want them to be. So we're giving the designers the maximum flexibility to send the messages. Hopefully the service is getting what it expects, right? So
nice.
And so now you see our other test client received the message. We could bring up as many publishers as we want, and we'll automatically provide PubSub to those publishers. So you don't necessarily even have to go in and configure every single party that's going to connect. So we could say we had 10 machines that we wanted to bring up. We could bring those 10, connect them all as publisher one, and they'll instantly start receiving messages. If we wanted to go back in at a later point, maybe we decide we care about our messages and we don't want our messages to get lost. We want to start using MSMQ. We can actually go back into the bus, change the topic to MSMQ, and automatically all the connected clients will reconfigure themselves. So we don't even have to go to all our various servers and restart our applications. We can just say, start using MSMQ right now. And within a few seconds, those changes will be picked up. And those applications, without me going and modifying any configuration, without me doing anything besides saving that configuration, will automatically start using MSMQ.
Very cool.
So when the rest of the features on the bus kind of build on top of the concept of topics, so we allow you to, say, set up a web service. The web service will send all of its traffic over a topic. So now you can add subscribers to that traffic. So you could, say, have 10 subscribers all listening to every request that's sent over the bus.
Yeah.
Or hook in various parties with filters to maybe version 1 of a request goes to one server and version 2 goes to another server, all using that base topic infrastructure.
Awesome. Now, I know that this stuff has been around for a little while. How long has Neuron ESB been around?
About 2 years now. We're actually in our 2.5 release, right, Jesse?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. So, and it, of course, the ship keeps moving, and we're about to launch .NET 4 really soon. I'm sure you guys have been working with it. Tell me about your efforts on .NET 4.
So .NET 4 has been a real joy to work with for me. It fills in a lot of gaps that were left out with 3.0. I think one of the most valuable things we found in 4.0 is the addition of discovery, so that we can dynamically locate services on our network. There's been technologies in the past, things like UDDI, which, you know, on Windows you can set up a UDDI server, but it's a lot of infrastructure to set up. It's a lot of infrastructure to manage, and a lot of people don't necessarily want to go through the whole process of establishing a service registry, you know, and discovery just lets you, you know, set up a service on one machine, a service on another machine, and they can find each other, and you don't need any additional infrastructure besides WCF.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
So you're doing the work to make Neuron function on .NET 4 right now?
Yeah, we're actually in the progress. We're pushing towards our future releases, which will fully support and build on top of .NET 4.
Awesome, awesome. Well, okay, so when, or can you even say?
When we'll have that release out?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm allowed to say.
But it's going to be this year, for sure.
We definitely want people to take advantage of .NET 4 before .NET 5 is out, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's good. All right, so we're already thinking next version, right? Hey, well, that is fantastic. And so the website is neudesic.com.
So that's our parent company website. You can definitely go there. We have our own website, neuronesb.com.
Okay.
And we've got white papers up there and videos and lots of stuff to help you understand what it does. You can contact us there.
Okay.
And shortly, like I said, we'll have the ability to download and have trial versions and everything you need to get started.
All right. Yeah. Excellent. Well, thanks so much, guys, for joining me today on Endpoint TV.
You got it, Ron. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.